We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Light Years. Sam Spandiari here. Kyle Madsen sitting across from me. I like your shirt, buddy.
Thanks, man. I hope John Fisher sells me his. Just kind of wake up and say that every day.
Yeah, you know.
Last day of the legislative session in Nevada on Monday when we're recording this, so.
You know,
fingers crossed that.
The interesting thing for me, this is actually uninteresting. This is just a purely me thing. It's like I'm following all this stuff, and I'm like, I know nothing about Nevada politics. And then, you know, my brain then goes to, why on earth would I know anything about Nevada politics? But, you know,
I would be weirded out if you did know about Nevada politics.
I'm just coming in here with takes about the zoning laws in Vegas. Like, bro, this congressman just upzoning everyone north of whatever boulevard, you know?
Yeah. I will say, trying to prop up Las Vegas by talking about how much Oakland sucks, like, okay. That doesn't really crack.
Speaking of Las Vegas, let's talk about the teenager we're going to call the future at summer. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Exactly. Yeah, we might as well talk about that. So Steve Kerr went on Draymond Green's pod. Hey, do you not feel like the NBA finals take way too many days between games?
I didn't feel that whenever the Warriors were in it, because I was just... The stress level is so high between games, and you're thinking about matchups and you're breaking everything down. Yeah. And what if this and that? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh God, there's a game. Oh my God. Whereas now, dude, come on. One after the other. Let's go. Play back to backs.
Back to backs. Jokic has the legs. It's fine. The Miami guys, you know, they grind. Jimmy Butler's posting on Instagram how hard he grinds at 4 a.m. or whatever. So yeah, no, it's so weird when your team's not in it. You're like, dude, this is taking forever. It's like Super Bowl week when your team's not in it, where you're like, I don't need to see the guy from the Tonight Show doing the thing a billion times. You know,
it's brutal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So thankfully, Draymond Green, who knows we have a thirsting appetite for content, is like, I got you guys. It's Steve
content
Kerr on his
God.
He had Steve Kerr on his podcast this week, today. And I urge everyone listening to this to listen to it. Quite frankly, if you are a Light Years listener, you probably did listen to it. Let's not lie. Don't lie. But, you know, there was one thing here which I thought was interesting. So we'll just play it.
The huge three in the fourth quarter tonight. And it's like, none of those guys on Miami are sitting there saying, well, I didn't play, or man, they put in so-and-so. Like, they're just all about winning. And you know this from our groups that we've had. When you have that championship mentality, every guy's bought in, every guy's just trying to win. Nobody cares about any of that stuff. You don't go into the locker room, you know, saying, well, I should have played more. You just want to win. And that's the beauty of finding that magic when you have a championship team, is that everybody's bought in, and it makes the decisions for the coach really simple. You just go with go with your gut and go with whoever's playing well.
Oh, Steve. I mean, is he saying, give me Juan Toscano-Anderson, send Jonathan Kuminga to the G League? Did that feel like a little look behind the curtain?
I want to ask you this. Yeah, because let's rewind to the start of the playoffs.
Okay.
Steve Kerr has the benefit of hindsight. We don't. So he knows what's coming. Adam Silver says, hey, you can trade Jonathan Kuminga for Juan Toscano-Anderson straight across right now. Does he do it?
Yes, of course.
I think so too.
And he tells Joe, not my problem. You can sell the Chase Center out in 4 years when I'm gone.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Obviously, they record that after game two. Miami had the big win. Mm-hmm. That game, by the way, reminded me of the 2015 Warriors, where they're overwhelmingly talented, but they lost to like teams who could just like get physical and kind of disrupt their rhythm. Like Miami felt so much like the 2015 Cavs or the Memphis Grizzlies, where it's just like, oh, they got under your skin a little bit. They got you out of your game. You shouldn't be bothered by them, but it happens.
Yeah. Where Miami maybe wins game three and maybe all of a sudden we're talking about, oh, Miami, then they get steamrolled through the last four. That would be the 2015 Warriors thing to do. Go down 2-1 and then win it 4-2 and win by an average of 20 points the rest of the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Kerr saying this is really interesting to me. Not necessarily said that by itself, because that's not that earth-shattering of a thing. But I think when you pair that with what he said after the second round loss to the Lakers, where he said this was not a championship team, that's why. Like, he said out loud on the Draymond podcast what he meant by that quote. And that's very telling to me. And it's the biggest reason I think this offseason, I don't think it's insane that they move on from Jordan Poole or Jonathan Kuminga. Like, that Jonathan Kuminga report came out minutes after they lost, that he was upset with his lack of role.
Yeah.
So that's really clearly what they're prioritizing and what they believe they need to get to a title. And I just think anybody who's not bought in, given where they are in this
Do you think the front office agrees with them? Because the thing I take away from all these statements and everything is, he has his narrative.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to communicate what he believes. We know he believes it. And you know what? He has conviction behind it because it's worked many times.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say like, oh, he's stubborn. He should play the young guys more. He should do X, Y, and Z. The way he likes to do things has a level of success that, you know, I too would not want to deviate from the things I knew, you know, coaches roll like that, you know. Shout out Sam Darnold, the starting quarterback for the Niners, right?
Stop, please stop.
you know, he wants that. And then obviously Draymond, oh, you think Draymond's like, yep, it's time for me to take a veteran minimum and sit on the bench so Kuminga can shine. Like, Draymond obviously wants the narrative to be that, you know, the young guys need to fall in line or they need to move on because what we do works.
Right.
And we haven't heard anything from anyone else around the team. And mostly because no one else has a podcast that's in front of the camera 24/7. But like, to the point, you know, Bob Myers left a week ago, you know, we had the press conference last Monday. They haven't named a replacement. Everyone thinks it's going to be Mike Dunleavy and it's going to be business as usual. And like, you can chalk me up in that category too. I can't see them going externally and hiring someone. It's probably just the same brain trust. And then like, we'll see who internally's voice is louder now that Bob's not there. We haven't heard how they feel. And that's the real interesting part to it. Cause Steve's powerful, but he doesn't sign the checks.
No doubt. But at the same time, what's your other option? If you sit down with the brain trust, so it's Lacob and Kerr and Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Kirk Lacob and whoever else, they're sitting down at a big conference table at Chase Center. That's where I'm imagining this happening. And they say, okay, what went wrong this year? And Steve Kerr says what he said on Draymond's podcast, said this was not a championship team because we did not have players all buying into their role, no matter how large or small. I think that carries a lot of weight. I don't think you're going to get Joe Lacob saying, well, Jonathan Kuminga just needs to play more then. If that's the case, then I don't think Steve would be around.
Yeah, that sounds like a recipe for like a huge blow up if that's right. Where we're headed with this, right? So
yeah, and I can't imagine it going that direction. So
no, because we haven't factored in the Steph Curry factor. Like mm-hmm. You can have all these conversations. Who's gonna tell Steph that we're trading all your vets to play the young guys? You know?
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're clearly trying to thread a needle. Can we talk about it? Like, is it wrong to want what Joe Lacob wants?
No, it's the goal every team strives for, right?
Yeah. Never suck. Just have a continual, like,
right.
As one star gets old, a new star emerges and mm-hmm. you dominate for eternity and everything like that. It
turns out that's really hard to do. That's why it doesn't just happen.
You don't have minor leagues where you control guys for decades at a time, like in baseball.
Yeah. And it's really hard to find impactful players if you're winning that consistently. Then, like, if David Robinson doesn't get hurt, the Spurs don't get Tim Duncan, and the Spurs dynasty doesn't become what it was. Sure. The Warriors had their chance.
And if Josh Primo doesn't, you know, commit a bunch of HR violations, then, you know, they don't get Wembanyama. So,
yeah, great point.
That was not a good point. Anyway,
but that's like they're trying to thread this needle, like you said, but it's basically impossible to do. And it's become clear that this iteration of the Warriors, this style, this Steve Kerr, Steph, Dre, and Claymon. It's 2023, and I'm still doing that. It doesn't work for Kuminga. Like, you're 2 years in, and you can't get in the playoff rotation even a little bit. Like, all right, move on.
Our guy Hayden dropped a question in the chat, and I just want to say this. Feel free to throw comments in there. We'll pull them up if they make sense. Hayden goes, JK played 20 minutes per game in the regular season. He didn't play in the playoffs because he's a poor man's Vando, Jared Vanderbilt, at the moment. He should put in work in the lab this summer if he wants more minutes. A little harsh. But
I kind of agree, though.
But he's not wrong on the overarching point, which is Kuminga played 20 minutes a game, and he played closer to 25 after the All-Star break. I thought he played really well, honestly.
I totally agree.
I'm high on his potential. But end of the day, I don't care that he shot 41% on one three a game, you know?
Right.
People aren't guarding him. He's not a shooter yet, right?
Right.
And he was kind of, I mean, you just, the playoffs expose what you can't do more than show what you can do. And like, he's still a work in progress. So he fell out of the rotation. Honestly, he fell out of the rotation for 5 games, you know, maybe 7 games. Like, if you think about it, it's not the largest sample.
No doubt. But this is also 2 years in a row that he couldn't play in the playoffs for a team where, like, the playoffs are the thing. Sure. If you cannot participate in those 16 games at the end of the season, I don't care what you did the previous 82.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's kind of my bigger issue. And maybe I like Jonathan Kuminga. I think he's a good player. And I think if the Warriors trade him, he would go somewhere and be a really good player somewhere. But if keeping him around is going to make it harder for the current core to win a title, yeah, I don't necessarily give a shit, to be frank, quite frankly.
What do you say to someone such as me who would say, yeah, well, you know, maybe if your veterans didn't punch one of your younger guys in the face and your other veteran didn't come into camp 10 pounds overweight and needed 2 months to get himself into shape, like, you're a young player on this team. Let's not act like the Warriors veteran core threw out a 96 Bulls effort to start the season, you know?
No, they were also bad down the stretch in the playoffs.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, there's a little do as I say, not as I do among those guys too. And I think that's where the disconnect comes a little bit. So
look, I understand. So the two timelines thing has been weird because there's people who say that was a media concocted thing. But it clearly wasn't. It was just an illustration of what the Warriors were trying to do.
They were thrilled to take all the credit for it when they were winning.
Yeah. And so, like, it's a good idea. Like, there's nothing wrong with trying to do what they did.
It's the dream. It's the dream scenario.
Right. And you whiff on the number two overall pick, and that kind of derails that whole thing. And then your number seven overall pick can't get on the court in the playoffs. Again, that derails the whole thing. But at this point, where I am, I'm not blaming younger players, but I do think that it's really clear, and we saw it this season, that Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, specifically those two, I don't want to include Moses Moody there, but it's pretty clear that those two very talented players don't fit with what the Warriors are doing. And you now have two timelines that are separate. They're disconnected. That was the word of the year, right? The disconnect. And that's why they were so bad on the road. And that's why they were so bad defensively. You know, can they ratchet it up for the playoffs? And they couldn't. So now, to me, the two timelines thing is out the window. You have a choice now. And it's, you stick with your young guys and Steph, I guess, or you keep this core together, tear up everything else and say, okay, pushing all the chips in for the next 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, and part of me is looking at it, and I really do think Jordan Poole is probably the biggest one to figure out here.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a lot easier to have young guys come through if they don't outnumber the old dudes. And I think this year that was the case. There's Jordan Poole, there's Kuminga, you know, Patrick Baldwin was probably a nightmare behind the scenes. Like, you know, it's just like there just weren't enough veterans, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, and it's one of those things where I'm just sitting there, I'm going, I can see Jonathan Kuminga being a very effective player for this team if he's the only young guy in the mix. But if your team is all young guys off the bench and Andre Iguodala in street clothes, come on, man. It's like, you know, I mean, you obviously host the Candlestick Chronicles, and it's like asserting a rookie DB into a veteran core, you can probably get away with it. Throwing three rookies, it's probably going to be fucking horrendous, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. And the only reason I don't want to, I bring up Kuminga, not because I think he's bad, but because if I'm trying to improve the Warriors, they're going to have to move him. That's why his name, I think he's very good. And I agree with you. If he's,
you think he's their best trade chip, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I don't know where Jordan Poole stands kind of league wide right now, but yeah, I could absolutely see a scenario where the Warriors make some moves and Kuminga sticks around and he grows into a bigger role and everything's hunky dory. Honestly, the bigger deal, just to zoom into this year, Jamichael Green not being able to replicate Otto Porter was kind of a bummer.
Well, I think they want, I mean, if we're gonna get into that conversation, I think the hope was Kuminga would be able to replace that role. Not the same player, but like,
sure, same.
Otto played 20 minutes per game, high level, versatile player. He didn't draft a 6'7", 6'8" wing with Kuminga's tools not to do that, you know?
No doubt.
It didn't happen. It did for parts of the regular season, but, you know, at the end of the season, he couldn't get on the floor. And yeah, to your point, Jermichael's the same thing. I mean, they need someone who can score the ball who plays in the front court, period. Whether it's shooting or whether it's like pressure on the rim.
Yeah.
Because these Draymond Looney lineups, like, we know where they go. It is what it is. I wanted to ask you, do you think it's more about Kuminga or Jordan Poole when they're talking like that?
Ooh. I think Jermichael Green's involved there. He said as much.
Okay.
Like, he openly said that he was unhappy with his role. And I think Kuminga too, where there was that report after, like right after the season ended, that he was unhappy with his role. And that's, you know, okay, I kind of get it. You go from playing 25 minutes a game to none. That's gotta suck. So I get it. And then with Poole, that had to be like an all year thing, right?
Yeah.
Where I mean, he gets just paid and then it's like, come off the bench. Okay, now you're going to start. Okay, now wait, come off the bench. Well, you're not playing great. You're going to play less off the bench. Okay, but now you're going to start again. That's just a really hard spot to be for any young player. And then he goes struggle in the playoffs.
Yeah. I feel like my overarching take, and I've probably said this before, it's, I don't know which of them needs to necessarily go. Poole's the most obvious one because the new CBA and the money committed to him, and it's just a cap issue. But putting that all aside, and we can talk about that another time, they just need one of those guys to be replaced by a more steady veteran, honestly. Like, at the highest level, I need Kyle Anderson. I need Mike Conley.
I don't need Kyle Anderson so much.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, those
dudes I know what you're saying.
Those dudes are vets. They don't have the upside of Poole or Kuminga in any capacity. Like, don't. No,
that, well, and what you're saying is why this conversation is so tough.
Yeah.
Nobody is saying that Jonathan Kuminga is bad at basketball. Nobody's saying that Jordan Poole is bad at basketball. There's like a personality off-court intangible element to this that, going back to the start of this conversation with what Steve Kerr said, that has nothing to do with basketball. That's just buy-in. That's just mental and emotional buy-in to what the team is doing and committing to winning no matter what your role is. And so if Jonathan Kuminga and Jordan Poole have an epiphany this summer and they call Draymond and say, or Steve Kerr, whoever, and say, hey, we're in no matter what, playing 0 minutes or 40 minutes, we're in, we want to win, great. But what are the odds that happens? It's very low. And that's why this becomes a hard conversation, because not dragging those guys as players, it's just how do they fit with the ethos of this team that's already won four titles together.
No, I mean, it's they got to make a decision. That's what we're coming back to. Time to make a decision. They've kicked the can down the road. They got lucky 2022 with it not biting them. They felt it the following year. All things equal, I'll take those two outcomes. I'll take a title, you know? So that's okay. Yeah,
same.
It's time to make some stronger decisions and move forward.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get some voice. Let's get some voicemails.
Hell yeah, I love that idea.
What's up, dudes? Do you think that the youngins will feel more inspired by the Draymond Green podcast featuring Steve Kerr today, or do you think it'll make them feel even worse about themselves and incapable? Or do you think they just don't care?
Over
That's a
under,
fascinating question.
Over under Jordan Poole threw the pot on this morning while driving around his sports car.
Yes, that he put it. No, I don't think he. I don't think Jordan Poole himself listened to it.
No,
I'm guessing that's a definite no. But his friends listened and gave him the rundown.
Come on, you and I both know what happened. He saw a clip on his fucking Instagram or Twitter feed, you know? Yeah,
that too. That definitely happened.
NBA Central threw up a quote out of context and he's like, Draymond said, what about me? Yeah, that's exactly what happened right there.
Yeah, I think so too. And as far as that question, I think what my guess is what Steve Kerr said on Draymond's podcast was not something that whoever it was about, I don't want to, I'm guessing, but whoever it was about hasn't already heard from him. I don't think Steve Kerr at the end of the year was like, you guys are so awesome.
No, he's a pretty transparent dude.
Yeah. So whoever that was about, they know. And they've been told.
Yeah.
And I think the front office this offseason is going to act accordingly. I think a lot of the Warriors moves coming up will tell us a lot about who he was talking about.
Yeah, I tend to, he's asking, do you think it's going to motivate them? Do you think it's going to annoy them? Or do you think it won't matter? I kind of think it won't matter.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think there was anything revelatory there. I don't think, like, you know, Jordan Poole's coming away from us like, oh, I didn't know Steve wanted us to buy in. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I feel like an idiot.
That's what he meant the whole time? What? Oh. Yeah, exactly. like it's not a... It's going to be something on their feed for 12 hours and then it's over, you know, but I don't think it changes how anyone feels. So. Yeah,
no, I'm totally with you. I don't think it matters that much. If it does, then that's kind of the crux of the problem.
I really hope this isn't brand new info for anyone.
I love the idea of that being a motivating factor, though. Like Jonathan Kuminga was like, I'm taking a day off. And then he saw that quote on NBA Central or whatever and was like, no, I'm back in the lab.
And he puts on the Rocky music. He's just eating raw eggs, running the stairs. Yeah. All right, we got a new one. This is, I like this one. I listened to this one before.
It's good, fellas. It's Izzo. Try to bear with me, man. I got a little bit to vent. But, you know, I kind of feel like we forget that before Kerr, Draymond was a second rounder on the verge of Italy playing spot minutes at a power forward, small forward. A boy, Looney, was an afterthought. Probably doesn't last in the league if Kerr doesn't beg and plead management to keep him. Not for Kerr's system, philosophy. GP2 doesn't get that contract from the Blazers and probably any other NBA team for that matter. JaVale McGee's done in the league. Poole probably hooping in Greece. Yet there's this narrative that that Kerr can and hasn't developed players, for the players that have been developed or excelled under him, folks try to find ways to send credit elsewhere. So my question for y'all is it possible that we take Kerr for granted? And I mean, listen, he annoys me at times, you know, but what coach doesn't? And so maybe it's even time for him to maybe we're just tired of him. It's not that he's a bad coach or I don't know. Anyway, the second thing is y'all think that one of that Gabe Vincent or Caleb Martin would excel on the Warriors. And if so, you know, how about maybe Gabe Vincent as a Dante replacement if Dante opts out for your college player? No, Curry loves those cats. Anyways, appreciate you all. Peace.
I guarantee you Steve Kerr has texted. Oh, no. Yeah, I guess no point texting Bob anymore.
Bob's working until June 30, bro.
he threw it in the basketball ops Slack channel so everyone can see. He's saying, you give me Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent for Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga, and the fifth banner goes up. I guarantee you he feels that way. And he might not be wrong.
The Heat would say no to that so fast.
I mean, first
Jordan
off,
Poole, not a Heat culture guy. Jonathan Kuminga, maybe. Jordan Poole, not.
Can you imagine Jordan Poole and Tyler Hero together?
Oh, my God. The city of Miami would burn down.
Eric Spoelstra would... First off, Spo's over 50 and he has no grays.
Spo is over 50.
He would turn gray, so he'd look like Pop by the end of the season with those two. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that dude looks, he's not aging, even though he sounds like he's at the end of every game. It's like, you know how coaches sound at the end of the game. They sound like they got back from the front lines.
Him snapping at Ramona last night was wild.
I thought that was, can I talk about that real quick?
Yeah. The
untrained eye is hilarious. It's a, first off, I don't think he meant anything by it other than he didn't want to discuss the fact that they figured out a strategy to make the Nuggets less effective. So he pulled a Greg Popovich by just like, you know, just basically trying to bully Ramona a little
bit. Yeah, just distracting from the question by talking about how awful the question was.
Yeah,
it was just a perfectly valid question. And she even said it's an oversimplification.
Yeah, it's very clear what she meant. And she's like, oh, the untrained eye. Like, it's like, what are you talking about, dude?
Hey, the funniest shit was the Heat players got asked about it. And they were like, yeah, that's what we were trying to do. They're like, we saw you had 41 and we were thrilled. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, it didn't happen. Jamal Murray and Michael Porter dropping 70 combined on us. We like that.
Turns out.
Yeah. And that's why I was saying it reminds me so much of the Warriors, because these teams just devise ridiculous coverages because they're afraid of like Steph and rhythm and the team.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels with like the strategy around Jokic is like, look, man, someone's going to score, but I can't have him doing that thing where everyone's starting to make shots around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
even in game two, but certainly in game one, they got just so many open looks at the rim because of him.
Yeah.
And just trying to make that go away. That's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. I want to get back to the voicemail because I thought it was a very insightful. It was an interesting question because we love to blast Kerr for being a bad development coach. And like, let's be honest, he's not, he's not like Mr. like development front line, but like he brings up some good points. He brings up some really good points, which is, you know, Looney, is that not development? Draymond Green, is that not development? Mm-hmm. Keep going down the line, like GP2, is that not development? Mm-hmm. And I think my overarching theme on Steve is he's the coach for players once they get over themselves. He's not the coach for teenagers. He's not the guy to coddle a young guy and groom him. He's the coach to take the guy who's 24, been hit in the mouth, and then like, just trust me, I got you.
Andrew Wiggins is a perfect example. Rookie year Andrew Wiggins landing with the Warriors did not become the Andrew Wiggins that he is right now. But Andrew Wiggins with, what was he, 6, 7 years in the league?
Yeah.
When he got to Golden State?
He turned 25. It might have been on his birthday, but the point is they almost turning 25. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had been through what you're talking about. He'd gotten punched in the mouth. He'd tried to be the number one guy.
Put up numbers on a 20-62 team. you know?
Yeah. And hey, here's this culture. Here's this team. This is your role. You're going to dominate at these three things. Mm-hmm. Now go do it. And he thrives at it. That's just a perfect example of what you're talking about just tangibly right now on the team.
Yeah. And like the other way I look at it is like, I don't know if it's possible to do the raw 19-year-old development thing while also having guys like Steph Curry on your team. I think it's possible to do the 23-year-old mm-hmm. who's ready to grind and do certain things on your team. And so that's kind of the thing. I do think Izzo brought up a great point, and I want to highlight it, which is like, not all development looks the same. Development isn't no doubt. Just taking an 18-year-old and like grooming him into becoming a star. Is GP2 not to, how many coaches would have turned GP2 into a player?
Not
clearly not many, because he bounced around the league over mm-hmm. and over again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see that you see it with so many of the veterans that they sign. It's just Kerr finds a role for them. They understand basketball. They understand what they have to do to succeed. And that's why the raw 19-year-old thing, I think, doesn't work. Because that player has been the best player on the court at every level they've played for so long. Mm-hmm. And now you come to this team where, hey, not only are you not going to be the best player, you might be the worst player. And you're obviously super talented, but do this one thing really well for 8 minutes a night at first. And that's a really difficult adjustment to make. Like, I don't put that on, pick a young player. I don't want to pick somebody out, but I don't put that on a young player. I also don't put it on Steve Kerr. Like, that's just the reality of the NBA at the level that the Warriors are playing. It's hard.
It is hard. All right, let's keep moving. I like that one. Our guy Archie.
What's up, guys? It's Archie. It's been a while. I was able to listen in both parts of the pod. Thought it was a really great send off of Bob the God. We've been lucky as an organization to have him. I think when I think about stability, a lot of it should be accredited to how, you know, he made decisions that he needed to make, you know, as the GM and president, but also how he was able to manage egos with a lot of the things that kind of went on, you know, throughout the entire run while he was there. Favorite moment is always going to be the moment that he had up in the Hamptons when he told, you know, KD, hey, could win one or two without you. You know, but with you, we can win, you know, many titles. And the stones to say something like that to, if not the greatest scorer, one of the greatest scorers ever to play the game. There's not that many people that can do that. Him having that agent background, I think he was able to be something that most GMs cannot be. You know, we have other fan bases, you know, laughing that, you know, Bob is gone. You don't get to see that very often. It kind of shows you the impact that Bob has had on the league and the NBA as a whole. Sucks to lose him. You know, I'm excited for the future, but it was great to know that he's as much as a legend in an executive field as, you know, Steph or Clay or Dre were on the court.
Wow. Yeah. I appreciate the call, Archie. You're always welcome to call in. I haven't talked with you about it. It's been a week. How are you feeling about
good?
It's weird, isn't
it?
I'm
glad that this didn't go down. Who was the guy with the last name? Krause?
Yeah.
That was a disaster by the end.
Sure.
And it's not, I mean, it's he, not, it's obviously not Bob, different personality.
It's not Bob's style. Yeah.
Right. Different personalities. I'm not, but if this is what Bob wanted to do, and he's gonna ride off and we get to talk about how awesome it was when Bob Myers was with the Warriors and all the great stuff he did. I think Archie made a great point that he's there with Steph and Clay and Draymond, and they are going to just be linked forever.
Right.
Just in NBA history. That's just how it's going to be. The only way that doesn't happen is if he sticks around when he doesn't want to be, and now he's butting heads with Lacob, and that's trickling down to the players, and now the Warriors are a mess with Bob Myers at the front of it in the front office. Then I think that fractures a little bit. But now that doesn't get to happen. He clearly wanted to be done. And the Warriors tried to bring him back multiple times. And it sounds like Lacob's going to keep trying. And he gets to ride off into the sunset and do what he wants to do I want another, nothing more another from
25. He's got another 25 days under contract.
That's a good point. So once Bob Meyer's contract is up in 25 days, he gets to ride off into the sunset. And I love that for him because there's nothing. How selfish would I be if I'm like, God damn it, Bob, should have come back. Like the Warriors are never going to have a stretch better than the one they just had. And he was one of the architects of it.
It's I don't think it's fully hit me. If I'm going to be honest with you, like I conceptually understand, in 25 days, he's probably going to go to Cabo for a month and a half and, you know, live his best life and, you know, do whatever he wants. And he's going to move on, but it's weird. I haven't fully accepted the fact that, you know, on July 7th, when they start summer league or something like that, it's going to be someone new sitting up there, you know, telling us about how their draft pick speaks six languages or something like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a cordial, like I'm just stepping down type of situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. Like it doesn't need to be contentious, but like, it's just,
Right? He's the first one to go.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala hasn't even retired yet.
No. I hope he does, to be honest. I can't do another year of him saying he's ramping up, playing one game, and then breaking something because he's 80.
It's really tough. It's really tough.
I mean,
I love him to death. I have his jersey, but man.
Also, like, easily the best dressed street clothes.
Oh, yeah.
In the NBA, you know, so can't argue with that, but you know, it's going to be weird without him. I don't know.
It is. It's going to be a little strange. I'm fascinated to see what happens the first time. Like the introductory presser for the new GM will be weird. And like you said, when they introduce a draft pick or a free agent signing or whatever, that's going to be,
it's really when they, it's really like when they hit turmoil, like that's kind of
first
like,
time Draymond flies off the handle during a game.
Yeah.
And Bob Myers can't walk down to the bench and talk him down. What does that look like?
Yeah. Is Mike Dunleavy there? You know, I don't know. It is a thing that I don't know that I've properly conceptualized.
I don't think you'll be able to until stuff actually happens and you can start downloading and digesting that stuff. Sans Bob.
That's true. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. All right. Last call tonight.
Yeah. So like my question is like, what is like y'all's expectation for like the next season? Well, and like this offseason, like what do you guys like want to actually see? So like I'm hearing like pool trade, but like what is like a realistic pool trade that's not us like losing value on like Jordan Poole?
Okay, I got the sense of the question there. So like, how are you feeling? Like, what do you want to see this offseason to feel positive about the Warriors next season? Let's just leave it right there. Let's simplify the question.
God, man, I genuinely have no, outside of sign better veterans, I guess, because I don't know. This comes down to so much about personality versus on court production.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them like quote unquote on paper getting worse by trading Jordan Poole.
Sure.
Because I think that
multiple
caller was right.
40-point games last year. Like he's very talented.
Yeah. And I don't, to that caller's point, I don't know where his standing is in the league. So I don't know if a trade for him is going to be a protected top 15 first round pick and some salary filler. And what does that look like? Does it make Golden State better? So that's what's so tough for me is I don't know what they can do trade wise because of where Jonathan Kuminga and Jordan Poole are as assets and Moses Moody too. I don't know where they are as assets in the trade market that I could be confident that the Warriors are getting a equal or better value in return. So it's really hard to envision how I'd feel great about them going into next year.
I kind of agree with you in the sense of people love to crown winners on paper because of like the asset haul they got in a trade. Oh, just how many picks they got, like that sort of thing. It's like,
right.
It's not nothing, but a 2027 pick doesn't do anything for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just something that like in 3 years, 4 years, I'll think about.
Yeah.
I guess the way I'd measure success is feeling like they're tangibly in going into this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made some moves that make sense from a winning in the present moment.
Yes. Yeah,
but I just don't know that it can really be measured. Like I just don't see I don't see them trading for someone huge, you know?
No, I'm totally with you. But if they wind up adding some really good role players and they make a trade where, okay, they got quote unquote worse on paper, but you see where, okay, they have some better front court depth now and you can kind of see the pieces of the roster coming together, then great. You know, we'll see how it looks in March. But honestly, step one is just Draymond coming back.
Yes.
If he doesn't, I have nothing for you.
I think that's the other part of it. If they extend Draymond and Clay, or we just know what the direction is there, that'll probably do more for my stability factor. Like they could trade Draymond. They could trade Draymond for a different type of player.
Is there a world where they trade Draymond and you feel better about the team?
Yeah, it's a very unlikely world, but like there's scenarios where they trade Draymond, Poole, and Kuminga, and like everything compiles to get you something better. Do I think that's reality? No, but I do think it's possible.
Sure.
I kind of feel like my personal perspective is everyone but 30's on the table, and then of course, my level of what they're worth to me changes depending on who it is. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think I'm right there with you. If it's Draymond and Kuminga and Poole to get like just Pascal Siakam, I'm out. That doesn't make me feel better.
Ooh, I might be into that, but
and I like Pascal Siakam a lot, but that's one of those moves that, okay, that on top of what else are they going to be able to do? And does
true.
That make them
that's a good point. Like what else are you doing on top of that? Are you just getting them and Anthony Lamb getting 40 minutes a game?
Ooh.
Like, yes, that's not it.
We know that's what you want.
Well, no comment. we're going to do everything in my power to clear minutes for Patrick Baldwin Jr. And he's still, you know, anyway.
It feels like Patrick Baldwin Jr. is of all the players who under like 22 or whatever, it feels like he's the one that could tangibly have a real role next year.
I mean, I would think it'd be Moses Moody, but yeah, I mean,
in my brain, Moses Moody is like 28.
That's fair. 21 now, birthday this week.
Oh, shout out.
They threw it on the Warriors social feed. Sorry, I'm not a sicko enough to know his birthday by heart.
Some fan,
but I do agree with you on Baldwin. Like I see it. So, yeah.
Well, I should have said the players who didn't have a role this year, so having one next year.
So you think he has a better chance than Ryan Rollins? What a hot take!
Yeah, I'm there. I think I'm there right now.
Kyle, I appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, anytime, man. Happy to do it. John Fisher, Saldias.